Praise the Lord. Praise God, church. Praise God. I just want to say thank you to my pastors, Pastor Schumacher. Thank you for preaching truth to me. Thank you. Pastor Portman, thank you so many years ago deciding you wanted to go to Parkside and start a Bible study so that I could be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Saints of God. I'm just going to start with my scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 54. And he said also to the people, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. So it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" Pastor, would you pray? Amen. Praise God, and be seated. Pastor Portman gave me a topic tonight. He didn't just let me run free. He said, "Brother Smith, would you preach on prayer?" And I said, "I will do that." The Lord told me, "You don't need more theories on how to connect to God."
That's right.
Right? We don't need more somebody's opinions on how to connect to God. But tonight, if you've got a lack or a faith problem, God's going to help us see a breakthrough. God told me, like, if I can get you to actually do it, if I can get you to actually pray, if I can get you to actually speak words to God, this is going to be your night. This is going to be something good for you. I've got three things I want to talk about. I want to quickly help you understand that you have experiences and events and matter in your life you greatly need God's input on today. Today. I'm trying to convince you of that. Number two, we're going to try and identify the patterns in our own life. It's easy to identify patterns in other people's lives, isn't it? Oh, look at that person. You know who the hardest person is to identify the patterns in their life? You know who it is. That's right. You'll start to think about, and I'll ask you to involve God in where you are headed. I want to help you think about a forecast for the different roles that you have in life. Think about the different ways that you connect to the people in your life, and what is the future for that? And then let God talk to you. Last, we want to take that forecast and we want to give you an avenue to bring that to the throne of God. Amen. That's all we're looking to do tonight. Not long. We're just looking to... So listen quick. Praise God. We're going to open the altar. You're going to do that. Everything's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Thanks. So perplexity among nations. The Bible talks about in the end times... there would be roaring and perplexity among nations, different kinds of problems. People can't figure it out, right? This world's focus is on the world. This world's focus is on temporal things. And because of that, they don't have the stability that God gives somebody that's in the church, that God gives someone who's focused on eternal things. Praise God. So God would not have us to be in a state that the world is in. The Bible says that in the last time there would be perplexity on the earth and people trying to make sense of what's going on around them. What's happening with my kids? What's happening with my grandkids? What's happening with my relationships? What's happening in my communication or my lack thereof with God? People trying to know what they should believe in, what news they should trust, what they should understand. God doesn't want us to be perplexed tonight. The Bible said God is not the author of confusion. God's got a good plan for you. God's got a very good plan for you. And the thing is, his ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is higher than our understanding. God will not have you to be trapped in a corner by what you don't know. It's a lot of things we don't know. But the Lord has a way of taking us when we first come to him. And he's like, put your faith in me. And you'll read something in the Bible and you'll start to do it. That makes sense to me. I feel like God's telling me to do that. And then suddenly you'll understand why you're doing it and you'll find this blessing in it. And God takes you from a series of unknowns to a series of knowns, right? And he kind of does that in reverse. He works on us. He has a way of bridging us, telling us something in his word. We do it in faith, and then we understand more. This makes us more receptive to hearing and doing it because we know that the last time we tried something, God really showed up. So back to this passage, Luke chapter 12, verse 54. This is Jesus talking. He said also to the people, when you see this cloud in the west, straightway you say, look, it's going to rain. And so it is. Because they knew in the west, that was where the rain clouds came from. Hey, look, it's going to rain. We know it. We just picked up on that. Praise God. When you see the south wind blow, hey, it comes from the south. That's where the desert is. It's going to be hot. South wind's blowing. Then Jesus takes their understanding of physical events in the atmosphere, and he brings it into them understanding their life and them understanding what God is doing. He calls them hypocrites. You can discern, you can understand the weather, that this is going to happen, and you can reposition your life based on knowing that there's a south wind. It's going to be hot out. Maybe I want to stay inside today. Or knowing that there's... So now I'm changing what I should be doing, but you can't discern. How is it that you cannot discern this time? And that word time is also opportunity. It is a specific time. So tonight we'll have an opportunity to take what we can see coming down the road at us and give that to God. Praise God. Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How it is that you cannot discern this time? Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'm not trying to read scary scriptures to generally alarm you and not give you any direction. The people in this room are sold out people. The people in this room love God. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor here tonight, you can talk to somebody. They will help you know God. They will take you by the hand and they will tell you what you need to know. Praise God. This is the people you've decided, I'm going to follow God no matter what. And they ask God for those things. They ask for the Lord's discipline. They want to be a disciple. They know that I'm going to have to pay something to have the best things in life. And what's the best thing in life? Is to know that God is on your side. To know that you are in the perfect will of God. And that there is nothing, as Brother Mundy preached last week, there's nothing that can pull you out of his hand. Praise God. The Lord wants success for us in this season. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, which of you, intending to build the tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it mock him, saying, This man began to build. He was not able to finish. Praise God. What do you do with a tower? What do you do with a tower? You get high. You get above your enemies. Praise God. The tower gets you a better view of what's coming down the road. In this scripture, I believe that the tower is talking about your prayer life. Praise God. There's more scriptures that'll pop up later. Or what king, in verse 31, going to war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth, there's people he talks to, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Praise God. Part of the savor and the flavor of you being Christ's disciple is that you have calculated what it will take you for total victory, and you're like, bring it on. And that's part of the salt that we have in this world. The next scripture goes on to say, if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Praise God. But a calculation is made. That king, he's got to know, how am I going to do this war? Praise God. That builder has to know, how am I going to build this tower? Have you ever read a passage like these and just asked yourself, do I have what it takes?
Yes, amen.
Has anybody else done that? Amen. Just said, oh my goodness. Praise God. It's time to allow the Lord to help us with our calculations and with our consultations. The king consulted, the other man calculated. The adversary wants you to hear a passage like this and feel doubt. And then just manage your levels of doubt. Well, I go to church. I'm trying hard. No. God wants you to take that passage and apply it to your life and say, where am I going? Do I have enough? And if I need more, God is there to help me. If I need more understanding, if I need more wisdom, if I need strength, if I need to get through something that I haven't had before. King Solomon started out and he had no wisdom. He went to God and he said, I need wisdom. The Lord granted it to him, and then afterward he had wisdom. He came into the situation, he didn't have it. The Lord gave it to him, and now he has it. That's what God can do in our life. If we're honest about the trajectory of how we're building our tower and how we're going to war. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? I'm just going to do that first part of the verse. There's no army on earth that they make them work a full-time job, and then they go to war. I don't know if I have enough bullets today. I can't make the money for it. No. They go to the king, or they go to the army, and they say, I have these requests. These are the reasons why I have these requests. This is what we need to keep fighting. And the commanders, the authorities say, here it is. Or whatever the case may be, the military takes care of those who are fighting and backs them up with everything they need. They simply make a case for what is needed and make a request through the proper channels. The Hebrew word translated forecast in the King James Version is kashab. It means to plait or to interpenetrate. That is literally to weave or to fabricate, to think, to regard, to value, to compute, to forecast, to imagine. It appears 124 times. We want our thoughts and our understandings of ourselves, our understandings of our world, our understandings of our brother and sister. We want to think about all of that and plate it together and let the Word of God interpenetrate that. We want to consult the wise. We want to get a general forecast for the trajectory in our life and all the roles that we have. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says, it's Joseph talking to his brothers. But as for you, you thought evil against me. The word thought is this word to forecast. But God meant, same word, forecasted it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. So ask yourself, where are things going? God has a plan, yes, but am I on it? Praise God. Do I have to run to catch up? You can run to catch up. The Lord will give you strength to run. You run and catch up, and you get back on the plan. If you're not on the plan, get back on the plan. Praise God. Trajectory. Where is this going? Brother Dave mentioned in his recent message, one of the easiest excuses to talk yourself out of the will of God is to simply say, I'm not sure that was God. And then you ignore it. Better do nothing with that. But then Jesus would have called you a hypocrite, because you can discern all these atmospheric conditions, things happening, and you can adjust your life based on that. Why can't you adjust your life based on God talking to you? I need to adjust my life based on what I see, not after every fleeting emotion that I have, but when I see a trajectory in my life and I say, this is not right, or this isn't serving me well, I need to be able to take that to God and say, can you give me wisdom in this area? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's Jesus. That speaks of Jesus' return. Hallelujah. The 10 virgins speak of the church, people that are waiting for him to return. Praise God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 4 in the King James says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. CEV version says, the ones who were wise took along extra oil for their lamps. The ESV says, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Praise God. Tonight, God's not asking us, what does just enough oil look like? He's not asking us what getting by looks like. He's asking us, what does a surplus look like here? Well, when God is good and ready, my promise will just happen. It'll just happen, right? And you have no contribution at all or input towards that at all. towards helping his promise come along. The wise were forecasting for a surplus and an overflow. They had already been buying. They had already been selling. They had already been preparing so they would have enough oil. Praise God. All right, we're in part two now. Are you convinced that you need him tonight? All right. So good. Part two, pattern recognition. We've got some innocuous questions for you. You go to the doctor's office. Do you have a cough? Do you have an upset stomach? You have this form, and you have to yes or no. And you go through, do you have a family history of this? Do you have a family history of that? Did your mother have this? Did your father have that? Is there something that you need to avoid that your mother had trouble with or that your father had trouble with and that you could possibly have trouble with? Right? They're just asking you some questions. But you have to think, well, did Dad? Well, did Aunt Martha? Okay, and then you write that down, and it gives them a picture for a forecast that helps you with natural things. So you can take that back to your family. Did Dad have a problem with this? And the spirit. Did Mom have a problem with this? Do I might have a problem with this then? Praise God. I'm going to ask you, what's your trajectory like of your habits in prayer? What convictions do you have around your prayer life that protect your communication with God? Where's it going? Do you need to institute something new to improve it? Here's a good question. Don't everybody answer at once. Describe your current program of discipline. Are you hearing God more or less on your new program? Is it better than your previous program? Like men on a ship, do you need to change the sails and head in a direction you haven't been before? How fast is the ship going? How fast are you arriving at your goal for what you want to do in the kingdom? For what you know God is talking to you about your purpose in life? How fast are you getting there? Are you distracted? Do you have a target? Do you even have a target? Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. When you get there, say amen or cough. There we go. I'll never ask that again. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. A Christian that is asleep is one that is not consciously connected to God. You know, I wake up, I go to service, and then I kind of hibernate for a couple of days. I don't show up for work, I don't respond at all, I'm just out. The doctor would ask that person some questions, right? So you don't show up for work for a couple days. You wake up once every 3 days? Yeah, that's what I do. Cool, yeah, no. You're going to have to keep filling out this form. Praise God. So, right, like, mark your report card. Do you talk to God every day? Are you hearing him every day? Do you know that he's talking to you every day? All of those virgins slumbered and slept, right? But that shouldn't be our default. Praise God. Look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly,
not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise God. God's will is for you to know his voice, for you two to walk together, hand in hand, for you to enjoy the communication you have together from the moment that you meet him until the moment that he takes you away. Praise God. Wherefore, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We know that to sin, you want to get right with God, you repent. But laying aside weights has to do with your trajectory. I've got a goal. I want to see this accomplished. I want to hear God every day and not let the flesh get up over the top of me so that I can't. I don't want to let the day get away from me and then suddenly it's 9 p.m. and I haven't talked with God or read my Bible or thought about anything and the world just kept going faster and faster around me. Weights. How do I lay aside weights? It's a matter of conviction. Some things aren't sins. Some things just impede your progress. And you don't know it until you have that goal for your family, maybe for your relationship with your spouse or your son or daughter, your parents. Praise God if you have them. Some things aren't sins, some things just impede your progress, and joy runs away from you because you don't see the results that you were looking for. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I had this hope. I thought it was going to happen. It didn't happen. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Are there weights? Are there things that are just slowing your boat down? Praise God. So convictions come in. Every weight, like, hey, this TV show is going to distract me. Or maybe not. Convictions are personal. It's between you and God, right? When there is something that could fulfill me like progress, right? Why would I watch this when there's something that could fulfill me like progress? Like I could talk to God. Like I could work on my Bible study. Like I could understand something about God or myself by just asking him. Praise God. I want to win. I want to win. Praise God. Convictions, boundaries. Instituting convictions and boundaries in your life is always challenging. It's always a challenge. You see, we only truly get to keep what we habitually exercise. The bodybuilder that was a bodybuilder in high school, you know, 25 years later, is now eating donuts every day, doesn't look so great. He doesn't look great if he's not keeps working out. What you habitually exercise, you can retain. Praise God. And that includes your walk with God. That includes your sensitivity to hearing the Spirit of the Lord. That includes all of that. If you're using the gifts of the Spirit, right? You use it and you become open to God working through you. And you don't set it on a shelf. Pastor Schumacher has said, you know, get to church early. Pray. Prepare yourself. Prepare your spirit. Know that God's working on you, right? Praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Please turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. It goes on to talk about different capacities that you're supposed to look at and develop and say, am I developing this? Am I waiting on this? Am I tending to this? Is this something I want to keep? Or is this something I want to let go? Praise God. Whether it's your witness that you keep telling what you know is true, whether it's your testimony that you keep using it like Paul did, whether it's your joy and your unity in marriage, I'm going to keep showing up. Praise God. You only truly will possess what you keep exercising. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, or Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. And the same verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says the same thing. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth, but the simple on and are punished. The word foreseeth just means to see. It's used over 1,000 times in the Bible. He just sees it happening. I see where this is going, right? Praise God. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober and watch unto prayer. Psalms 130, verse 6 says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Our adversary and our flesh both want us to believe that it's going to be so much trouble to live for God. Oh, it's so exhausting. Don't try to invite your relative to service. Think of the inconvenience tonight. Maybe next time. Praise God. Don't try to lead a study group at your work, because then all of the... Don't try to do a home Bible study because... On and on and on. Don't try to help off. Don't offer your home. Don't offer your time. On and on and on. Proverbs chapter 22, 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. In other words, I don't want to get out of the house because, hey, there's bad things out there. There's so many reasons why your flesh wants to just not do something, right? And the Spirit of God is always there talking to you, saying, talk to that guy. Or you'll feel a prompting, or you'll hear something, or you'll think, I gotta get up early tomorrow and get in the Word. Or I ought to get up early and do this or that. Or maybe I should put those notes together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Bible also says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. When you make some devisings, the Lord will direct your steps. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. How do you commit your works unto the Lord? You give him access for his input. Praise God. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Established. Praise God. We are a group of people who have walked with God, who have listened to God, who want what we do in this hour to matter. We want what we do right now to count. And we want... Hallelujah, the works of our hands to be established. This church is looking forward to revival. This church is looking forward to miracles. This church is looking forward to 1,000 souls being touched by God. This church is looking to have God establish our outreach, establish our studies, our prayer meetings, and the church's witness inside these walls and ultimately outside these walls. That's on the forecast for Apostolic Faith Church. We are looking forward. The only way that you can get a forecast
is that you look forward. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can't get it by staring at the past and wondering what happened. Waiting for it to repeat itself. You leave the goal and the destination to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And you're latched on to the future. Amen. You thank God for the people and the components and words that God has given you in your life. Amen. And you look up. You get your forecast by looking up. The Bible says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Hallelujah. I know that we have different gifts. Brother Smith, not everyone can do the same thing or believe the same way, and they should just believe for less. Problem is, the book of Timothy says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word fear here is used once in Scripture. It's translated fear, but it's more closer defined timidity. Timidity is not meekness. Timidity is a spirit that would desire you to cause you to possess less than what God has promised to give you. Timidity is a spirit that needs to be rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ, that it is removed and replaced by the spirit of power, by the spirit of love, and by the spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." But the eye should say, "I am going to see clearer than ever than I ever have before. I have a goal. I'm looking into the future. I'm not looking to get rid of another member of the body. I'm looking to be everything that I can be." The knee should say, when the time comes, I am going to catapult this body into the air that leaps over a wall. Praise God. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." You need to have Holy Ghost thoughts stirring in your mind. Praise the Lord. Would you take a moment and put your hands into the air and ask God for God to give you a God-sized forecast for the things that are troubling you, a forecast for our families, Lord. God, we need a forecast for what you want to work through us, God, in your kingdom. Would you lift your voice? Would you begin to pray? Would you take a moment? Would you take a moment? God, we need you, Lord. We need your faith in our lives. We need your faith in our minds. We need your faith, God, to lift us to God-sized thinking. Hallelujah, to lift us out of timidity and not wanting to try it. God, to lift us that we might be your hands and be your feet. Put a forecast in my heart. Put a forecast in my mind. Put a forecast. I want to see it. I want to see it in my heart. I want to see it in my mind's eye. God, put a forecast in for my family. Hallelujah. Victory in my spirit to see it over my family. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. We'll be satisfied in the will of God. Hallelujah. We're letting God walk through the corridors, our emotions, our desires, our thought process. I'll be satisfied in life with the purpose and the will of God. Praise the Lord. We all have different roles that we play. We have different hats. Yours may be different than mine, or there might be some overlap. What are your dreams for the roles that you could serve God in? What are your dreams? There's nothing like being in the will of God. There's nothing like being in the will of God. There's no more satisfying life than being in the will of God. Amen. Right? You give everything to God, and you know that because of that, you've got everything, you have access to everything he can give you.
Right? It's a two-way street. I give you everything. God's like, I'll give you everything. I will help you with what you need to know. Praise the Lord.
What did he speak to you long ago? What dreams still reverberate throughout the chambers of your soul? The two on the road to Emmaus said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us by the way? Can you rehearse how Jesus walked with you and how he illuminated a path for you? But maybe you said, hey, that'd be great if it happened. Put some energy behind it. Watch God bless it. What prayers need to be prayed one more time? Just one more time. Can you stir it up? Can you stir it up just one more time, man of God? Man of God, woman of God, stir it up. Stir it up one more time. Believe God again. What roles do you currently own? The roles that we own determine how we communicate. They determine how we perceive. They inform us. They provide a context for communication with one another. What roles do I currently own? You need a forecast for each one. We need a forecast for each one. I want to see the end. God speaks the end from the beginning. Lord, give us that wisdom. I want to know that for my family. I want to know that for my wife. I want to know that for my parents. I want to know that for my church. I want to know that. God, I'm going to sit at your feet and I'm going to listen. Praise God. Relationships grow when your roles overlap. Praise God. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have a responsibility to provide. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The word provide there means to consider in advance. That obviously means things, but it's not limited to things. I want to consider in advance. I want to have a forecast for my family. I want to see that they're headed in the right trajectory in prayer, that they're doing what they need to do, that they're getting the resources they need to thrive. Praise God. I know God as my father. Fathers are to provide training and development. We approach him in this role daily as we pray, our Father who art in heaven. Praise God. Fathers challenge the children to bring them to a place of development and maturity, knowing they will inherit everything they possess. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't construct a plan from the beginning of time, fill his heart with love for us, and go to Calvary and die a terrible death so that he could give us the short end of the stick and hand it to you in life. Praise God, he's looking out for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I read a passage about Jonathan and David and their friendship, and how beautiful it was that they became one of the typologies of friendship in Scripture. And in one exchange, David said to him, your father's trying to kill me. And he said, if I knew you were going to be killed or that this was going to happen, wouldn't I tell you about it? And here we have this God who sticks closer to us than a brother. If he knew there was something that was lurking on the horizon for you, wouldn't he tell you about it? Wouldn't you want to make time to sit at his feet to hear him say it? Let's prioritize that. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a husband. It started out as a friendship. We lived on the same side of town. We'd carpool to church. We used to sing together. We knew each other pretty well, I thought. Then I took a job at an office she was working at, and now in this new role, I had it overlapped her role, and our roles touched more ground. We had more in common. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the Lord's bride. We are the bride of Christ. That's what the Bible says the church is.
He wants to marry us, take us home to heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Praise God.
There's one thing our adversary can't afford to do to every person here. It's to allow your faith to function unhindered and without a fight. The adversary would have no kingdom if he did that. Every attack against you, every trouble that you have, some of it's just the earth, right? But some things are just to destroy your faith. We're in a fight. And one of the things that we need is to learn everything that God can teach us in order to see correctly. Praise the Lord. The battle is really for our faith and understanding that He's still in control of every situation. The last thing I want to talk about is a way for you to get your forecast before the throne. In the Bible, types and shadows. A king and a judge in the Old Testament mirrored the role that God has. God is a king over all the earth. Abraham said to God, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "It came to pass in the month, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan in the palace, and Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and the certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Nehemiah said, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept, and I mourned certain days, and I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven." He prepared his heart before God. He had this overwhelming problem. Jerusalem is broken. It's the place where we meet God, and it's broken. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do about it. And he breaks down, and he fasts, and he mourns, which is exactly what a man of God should do when there's a terrible problem coming into their life that they need to handle, and they need to get the attention of God. Nehemiah chapter 2, I've got four more scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 says, "It came to pass in the month Nisan." Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. "In the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, I took up the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is your countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid." Twice in Scripture, we're about to read the passage in Esther where the same thing happens. If you were to go down to Racine, to the court, and you were to walk before that judge, and you had some kind of complaint, and you were to take your garments like they did in the Old Testament, and you were to tear them and say, "There's no justice here," they'd throw you out of the court. They'd throw you right out. Which is why Nehemiah was afraid when there was sorrow in his heart when he came before the one that could do something about his problem. Nehemiah said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make thy request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, and he just launches into this litany of things that he wants. He says, if your servants found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, how long will be your journey? When will you return? And then he goes on and he says, oh, the king's, granting me favor. Let a letter be going to the king's forest, that they may be, give me some timber so that I can make beams for my house, build me a house there. Right? He just starts throwing these requests in. Yeah, I'm going to need a house. Yeah, I'm going to need this. Yeah, I'm going to need that. Because he was in the throne room where God could, where the king could take care of it. The time for sorrow was over. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for telling God, I'm sorry about our sins. Forgive our sins. Repentance is important. 2nd to last few passages. The book of Esther contains this. Esther chapter 3, verse 8. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus. Now again, the king models after the king of the universe. This king was a king over 127 provinces, which was the known world at the time. So as you look at his responses, you see Esther is the bride, just like the church is the bride. The king is as God. It is a type and shadow. Haman goes to the king and asks for all of the Jews to be destroyed. Verse 9 says, chapter 3, verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the letters were sent by posts unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Praise God. And then in verse 14, the copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people. Verse 15, the posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed, just like the people of the world are now. Why are these things happening? This doesn't make any sense to us. And it seems as though God is distant and he's not hearing it. Or he obviously doesn't care about it at this point, because why would it be happening otherwise? Esther chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. I'm sorry, I'm turning there now. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Esther knew you can't sit in the king's gate like that.
Esther knew that the pressure in the kingdom right now is so great. Verse 15 says she had not been called into the king's presence in 30 days. Esther said, I am seeing the forecast. I am reading the trajectory here. It's not looking good. I am the queen. I am beloved. I am chosen above all the others of the land. Yet he has not called for me. Sometimes there comes a time where you have to approach God, but you have to do it in a different way. It's time to join God in a different role. The Lord said to Abraham, should I hide from him what I'm doing? I don't want to hide from him what I'm doing because it relates to his family. So God came to Abraham and asked and told him what was happening with these with the cities that he needed to judge. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren and that he goes before them night before God, night and day. We think of God as the judge at the end of time, but he is literally the judge of each moment. And the adversary is perpetually dragging things into the court system to ask him to judge it. The Bible says that he wondered that there was no intercessor. That's our role, church. The role that you can step in is, Lord, I'm available to hear you. What do you want to talk about today, God? And the more that you do that, the more that you're exercised to do that, the more that you hear him, the more that he can tell you. Praise God. If you stand with me. My final recommendation are these. There's people in this room that are trying to reconcile what they felt were the promises of God to them against what their current state is. I thought God was going to do, but that didn't happen. I thought this was going to happen, but that didn't happen. I'd ask you to take the tools that the people of God have used for millennium. Go to your prayer closet. Watch what is transpiring. Understand the writing that's against you. If you need to grieve the situation, grieve the situation. Fast. Go to God. Become sensitive. And allow that posture to inform you the actual extent of the problem. Esther needed 3 days before she could approach the king. Nehemiah needed fasting and prayers of repentance. Discern the times of your life. Do I know how to talk to God honestly about what I am in right now? Where I'm at right now? What the season of my life looks like and how it's different than last seasons. Are you watching the sky? Are you discerning this hour? Do you know how much your tower costs? Then go before the king. Request of God. Ask him, what do I need to solve this problem? What resources don't I have yet? And what can you give me surrounding it? He wants to be your counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. Praise the Lord. Let him counsel you on what you have going on in your life. There's no problem too big. There's no problem that's overwhelming for God. There's only problems that are overwhelming for people. Number two, let that need for your breakthrough and that solemnness help you align your life in the areas that you already have control over? Are there some things that you just need to get squared away with God? He'll help you with it. He'll help you with it. Start to understand what you need to ask the King. Understand what you need to go before Him. When you need to walk into the eternal courtroom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and without, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Upbraideth not means God's not going to beat you up about asking for wisdom. God knows you need it. The last thing I would say then is, after you have your forecast, after you know what you need to build your tower, after you know what you need to build your family, go before the King. Free of mourning, without sorrow, hands and head held high. Prepare your words before Him. Build a case as you would a judge who is also your Father and who loves you more than anyone else on this earth. Knowing your request pleases God because faith pleases God.
Amen.
And knowing as the angels do that every word is decided and every outcome is decided from the lips of our King. Would you come? Would you bring your request open? Thank you, Jesus.